Well, this morning we're going to go into another area of teaching. I thought we'd go back over to where we were before, but the Lord told me to move into this area. This is one of the things that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about in some areas of teaching, where I said I had over here a period of time, I had some dreams, and in those dreams I saw certain things I was supposed to minister on, and certain things I didn't know when the Lord wanted me to do it. Normally, things that the Lord wants us me to teach on doesn't normally come that way, but there were certain things that were going on in my spirit over a period of time. I'd go to bed and sort of go into I'd go to sleep, but sometime during the night I would be sort of like to me it seemed like more of a semi-conscious state. I would not really be I would sort of know I wasn't in some kind of deep sleep, but yet I'd have these dreams about certain things, and I would know that the Lord was trying to show me something. Some of it I didn't catch right away, and I don't know about you, sometimes I can be a little bit slow, but you have to get over sometimes and ask God about some things. Now, I understand this about dreams, you know. Not all dreams are from God. I know people try to go get around and get people, you know, interpret their dreams and what their dreams, and you can even buy books that tells you how to interpret your dreams and all that kind of stuff. And if you go that way, you're going to end up out there in Weirdsville. I'll just tell you, that's where you're going to go. I don't often have dreams where, you know, they're from God. When I have a dream from God, I know it. I know when I have it. I know it's from God. I mean, I don't have to sit around. If you have to think or go to get somebody to interpret your dream, I'll tell you right away, it wasn't from God. Why would he give you a dream? You know, the Old Testament, they say, well, that's the Old Testament. God will tell you, you're a child of God. If he's speaking you in a dream, you'll know it. And any time I have ever had a dream, I've known it. It's from God. That I had one was from him, I knew it was from God. And I've had lots of dreams, and you know, these, you know, weird dreams, you know, you get sometimes, and you know, they're just weird dreams. It's just weird stuff going on, you know, and just regular old dreams. And when you have a dream, it's from God, you'll know it. And so I listened to Brother Hagin on those things, and I tell you what, it worked out right. He had talked about some of those things about people and dreams and wanting to know, and I had this dream, can you tell me what it is? I remember when I worked at Reese's, we had these people, and they had this guy who was a so-called prophet, and they would go tell him his dreams and they would interpret, and I never heard such stupid stuff in my life, and never, you know, they were always in left field, these poor people, and they're going to this guy, and he's a prophet, and he interprets their dreams, and I used to think, dear God, he don't even know what's going on himself. Poor man. And so don't ask me to interpret your dreams. I wouldn't have a clue. You know, they're your dreams, you know. It might have been too much pizza. Or it might have been too, I don't know. But hallelujah. If you have a dream, God will show you. And one of the things that in one of the dreams it dealt with was in the areas of being led by the Spirit of God. And really, we're going back over things that are dealing with basics of things from the Scriptures. Is one of the things that God has dealt with me on was the fact of really that the church, one of the major problems that we're dealing in the church world today is the basics are not taught anymore. If you generally go on, like say if you'd watch TV or even listen to radio or say with ministries, they don't deal with basics anymore. They don't teach basics. Now there are some that do. There's some that go back and teach on basic things. But basically, if you're watching TV ministries and stuff like that, you're not going to be learning basic stuff about the words. One of the things is starting off, when I came into the kingdom, there was a lot of teaching on the basics and that stuff. A lot of teaching was going on in those areas. And so, you can't get away from it. If ministries are not going to teach on basics, then baby Christians will never grow. This is one of the problems we have in the church world today, is because baby Christians are coming into the kingdom and they're watching television preachers and they're never growing up. Because even if they are preaching things of truth, it's over their heads. Or they're never getting into foundational truths that a person never learns. You know, they don't go to school and learn, you know, Dick and Jane, you know, reading books. They go, they're sitting down listening to some guy talking about something that's way out there, you know, somewhere. But what happens even with those ministries? People get off the foundations. You can't get off the foundational truth. You always have to go back over foundational things. You need to always go back over foundational stuff. I always found this out. I have never once in my Christian walk that I was was standing in an area with God and things weren't working out, that God didn't bring me back to an area of something where I was, you know, missing it. And it was always, every time, it was a foundational thing that I knew, but I had gotten away from. Every time. See, if I walk in foundational truth, my faith will work every time. It's when you get off of foundational truth when you have faith problems. You know, is what happens, God starts to emphasize certain things and people just get off out there on those certain things, you know, as well, whatever it might be, you know. We've had it. I remember since the back in the 80s, we started over into the things. They were teaching foundational truths. Then they got over and, you know, God was moving in the areas dealing with prayer and dealing the areas of worship. But they got all weird and got whacked out. That became everything. Everybody left. No, if we just worship and pray, we don't need to know nothing else. Everything else will work. Well, none of it. Worship and prayer won't work if you leave the foundations. They won't even work. You know, you can sing all you want. It don't matter. It ain't going to get you nowhere. And so you can't leave foundational truth. And, you know, then people got into other things. And they get out there and they leave these foundational truths. Now, the Lord spoke to me about teaching, being led by the Spirit of God. And really, in teaching us, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. We're going to look at, in looking at these areas, we need to understand this. When we talk about being led by the Spirit of God, it means this. You need to be able to come in contact with your own human spirit. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you're not aware of your own human spirit. That's impossible. It's impossible. See, many people are trying to be led by the Spirit of God, and what they're doing, they're waiting to hear a voice in their head. Well, I tell you, the devil can talk to your head. You can hear all kinds of voices. Your flesh can get real loud in your head and tell you all kinds of things. And so, understand this, God is a spirit, and God communes with you through your human spirit. That's how He communes with you, that's how He talks with you, that's how He fellowships with you. He don't fellowship with you through your body, through your feelings, through any. He doesn't fellowship with you in those areas. That isn't how He fellowships. He fellowships with you through the human spirit. That's why God wanted man to be born again. Man being born again, his spirit now, if you're a child of God, born again, your spirit has the life of God. In other words, it's made of the same thing God is. It's just like you have a human child born in your family. That child is born of what you are. You know, you can't, you know, I could always get a kick out of people, you know, that today, you know, we talk about things. This is one of the things that things are so messed up. You know, I like pets and I like stuff and things like that. But one of the things today, you know, we have this bit, people say, well, you know, our pets are part of our family. No, they're not. I don't care how much you like your pets. I don't care how much you can't fellowship with your pet like you can fellowship with a human being. Your pets don't fellowship with God. You can. Amen. And there's a fellowship. And this is why. See, you get into wrong thinking. And we live in a nation and we live in people. And we have, this society and the way our society thinks and does has moved us away from God. It's moved us away from God. There's all kind of things that we feel that are important and they're very meaningful to us, but don't mean a thing to God. And we try to carry that stuff to God and thinks He's interested. You know, Jesus died for people. He didn't die for the whales. I'm going to tell you what. You ain't going to like the judgment God's going to pour out in this earth. I tell you, loads of Christians are going to be mad at God because of the judgments that are going to fall on this earth. Because it's going to kill a lot of animals. And they ain't going to like that. You know, kill the humans, okay, but don't kill the animals, you know. And I'm just telling you, if they don't understand, God is in the salvation business, the salvation of man. God is not trying to save the planet. The planet is trying to throw the people off of it because it will not follow God. But God's after people. That's what He wants. He wants people. He's after the salvation of men. Jesus died for Obama. He didn't die for, you know, somebody's dog or chicken or whatever else. He didn't die for none of those. He died for people. And if we want it, we got to get our thinking over right. God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to hook up with us. But we got to bring our thinking back over to what's important. I've often thought about these things because, you know, when I look back at when I was a kid growing up concerning the things of God and stuff, the people in our nation had a totally, well, you know, we look at today and say, well, how do we get so far off? We got so far off because we the world's thinking come in, you know. The world's thinking came in to save the planet, save the animals, and the church is full of it today. The church is full of save the planet, save the animals. They're full of it, has gotten into the church. It's all this other stuff out here that's so important. It's so out here, this stuff. We didn't have that back then. Now, we got all this stuff in the church, and now it's in the church, and the church is all messed up. The church is following everything else. You know, the church doesn't have an influence in our nation. The church has lost a lot of its influence and things, and the reason it has, it picked up what the world did and started carrying what the world felt was important. The church thinks they're somehow in union somehow with God, and they're not in union with God at all. The church is in union with nature. It's in union with all these things. It's all this stuff. And we really don't realize it's become a worship. It's a worship. It's a form of worship. We're worshiping the stuff. We don't worship. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Rome and told them about worshiping creation instead of creator. And that's what happens. We got this creation stuff came in. It's all started off. It all happened back, you know, when they turned around and started this bit of, you know, that man came from monkey and evolution got in. You need to understand. The Lord spoke to me back years ago and He said it was a very easy step from going to looking at man as just another animal. Well, we're just animals, to move it over to begin to kill babies. That became an easy step. Once man accepted that and started looking at himself as an animal. I mean, I've had Christians, we're animals, you know, just because we're a higher form. No, I'm not. I am not animal. I am no animal whatsoever. There is nothing that an animal and I are alike. I've been created after the likeness and the image of God. And if you lower yourself into anything, I won't tell you, you're on the world's thing. You're not going to step into the things of God. You have to come back over. You have to see that you are something different. That you're different. See, we can't, when man is taken from the place that God made him and created him, when you got born again, you became a child of God. You know, you're completely different. See, we identify ourselves. We make this creation here. That's why when people are struggling to fight to stay in this creation and Christians trying to make this thing work. I mean, some of these churches out here today, I mean, they're in the things of, well, putting money into stuff to save the planet. You know, we're going to save the planet. You know, well, while all the people go to hell, who cares? The planet's going to be here. You know, oh, glory to God. That'll be nice. All these people in hell, but it's okay. Gotta save the trees. Well, I personally, I don't care if the trees burn up. Let's get the people saved. What will change this earth is not saving the planet. You can put all your money in. The whole world can take every penny we make and dump it into saving this planet, and you cannot do it because sin degrades this planet, and it will keep going under as long as sin dominates. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. And see, people are trying to fix a spiritual problem with physical answers, and they can't do it. And see, God wants us to get over and hook up. And we're talking about being led by the Spirit. And I titled this because Kenneth Hagin's book says how you can be led by the Spirit of God. There are different ones. But I put down be led by the Spirit of God. And the reason I did is I want us to go to Romans to the 8th chapter. I want us to look at something here that the Apostle Paul said. The Spirit of the Lord, you know, I didn't come up with something new. From the Bible, but the Lord told me it was when I went to these scriptures and began to teach it. We'll teach some things a little differently, maybe than you've heard taught before, and you know, but it's the same thing, but the same scriptures. But we want to look at something in Romans the 8th chapter, and I want to go. I'm going to start at verse 12. of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans has a lot of things you can teach and a lot of wonderful stuff that that Romans 8 tells us. But I want you to see this because we want to talk about be led by the Spirit of God. It says in verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." I want you to see this. He said, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors." You need to understand this. Your sin, your debt of sin has been paid, but you have a debt to God. You have a debt as long as you're living in this earth. Paul just said you're a debtor. Well, did he lie? He said you're a debtor. You have a debt. And I'm going to tell you what that debt is. That debt is to be led by the Spirit of God. That's a debt that you owe God, is to be led by the Spirit. We're going to look at it. It's to be led by the Spirit. You're a debtor to God. You are not a debtor to live by the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. He said, listen to what he says. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." I want you to understand this. What's he talking about? Is he talking about physical death? That if they live by the Spirit, they'll never physically die? I want you to understand this. He's talking to Christians here, and he's talking to Christians and tell them they can end up back in spiritual death. You keep living by the flesh, and you'll end up spiritually dead. See, this is written to Christians. This ain't written to the world. And he's talking about here, you get over living in the flesh, and it'll lead you to spiritual death. That's why we don't want to be dominated by our flesh, because it leads to spiritual death. Sin always leads towards spiritual death. Always does. Because if he's talking about physical death, this means, in other words, if I walk in the Spirit, then my physical body's going to live forever. Is that what he's talking about? My physical body's just going to go on, and I'll never die. Well, I know people who believe that. There's some of those doctrines, and it'll come around again, but years back, some people believed that. Well, they were never going to die. Well, I want to tell you, I lived long enough to see them croak. So, it couldn't be talking about that, could it? See, this is why the wages of sin is death. It doesn't change. When you become a Christian, the wages of sin no longer become death. You see, the Bible's a spiritual book, but today the Bible is, because, see, when men get over in the physical and they're trying to save the planet, they're trying to save the animal life, they get over into the physical, that's what becomes important. And all they are is full of physical. Full of physical. When they read the Bible, it's talking about physical things and not spiritual things. So he told them, you have a debt here to pay. That debt is not to live in the flesh, because if you get over there and live in the flesh, it leads to death. It leads to spiritual death. That doesn't mean just because you sin, now you died spiritually. There used to be groups, I guess there still are ones out here and that stuff, they believe you sin, you gotta get born again, and you gotta get saved again. Well, let me tell you, you don't go out here and blow it. I mean, this is why the Bible tells us if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? When we have these guys out here teaching today, now you don't have to ask God to forgive your sin. I'll tell you what, those guys are leading people toward hell. I'm going to tell you what, I'd throw every book they have away. You better watch that kind of stuff. If you're reading around that stuff and getting around that stuff, you got to watch it. Because that stuff will tend to lead you to death, telling you you're not responsible. Go ahead and sin, it's all right. Sin leads to death. And when you tell people they don't have to repent, you're leading people toward death. You're leading people toward death. So, you need to get over and get in line, because he tells you it leads to death. Because listen to what he says then. He told this leads toward death. He said, if you live in the Spirit, so in other words, you're going to walk over in this area of the Spirit. He said you would live. He said, for as many, now verse 40, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, being led by the Spirit, not being led by the flesh. Don't be led by the flesh. The flesh will want to lead you. The flesh will want to be your guide. The flesh will want to tell you what to do. Now, I'm an expert. I got flesh. So you ain't going to come along and tell me and try to come along and con me on something. I got flesh. And my flesh has a voice. Now you might not say, well, you know, my flesh don't bother me. Well, it's dominating you already because you lied. Our flesh tends to lead us toward death. It does. The flesh will always want to tend to lead you toward death. Why? Because the flesh is dead in sin. This is why you don't want to be run by your flesh. Your flesh will always lead you the wrong way. One day we're going to get glorified flesh. Thank God. Hallelujah. That will be nice. You know, but as long as you're in a suit, this earth suit, and it got flesh, it is tended to lead you toward death. So but we're told here, now understand, this is speaking to Christians, it is not speaking to the world. The world can't walk in this stuff I'm talking about here. The world can't live in it. You're not born again, forget it. You're not going to be led by the Spirit of God because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. He's not going to be doing that. We have the Spirit of God indwells and lives in the believer. He can guide the believer. But he doesn't live in the sinner. The sinner's nature not only has a flesh nature that's sin, the nature of their own spirit is sin. So what is it going to tend to? It's going to tend to lead toward death. That's what it is, because it is. It's got death. That's what it has. So this stuff can't be talking to sinners. You can't teach sinners to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't teach them that stuff. People are always trying to teach sinners stuff, trying to take biblical principles and hand them out. You can't. It's for us Christians. This is who it's for. It's for you and I to walk and live over in this area. So, as many as are led, what? By the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So in other words, Paul's identifying something about being led by the Spirit. He said, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. In other words, you can be born of God and born again and be a child of God, but not live like a son of God or a child of God. Never live like it. Man, look out there in this world. It's full of them. It's full of Christians out here living like the world. The world doesn't even see them any different than themselves. In fact, the world likes a lot of them. The world likes them because they tell them they're Christians and they watch them live. You know, I remember when I worked at Reese Candy Company before I was saved, and I used to look at all these Christians, the people call themselves Christians, and I say, what a bunch of hypocrites. I couldn't stomach them because they live like I did. Went around saying I'm a Christian, and I knew I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I knew, my God, God can haul that bunch of people off to heaven. He's going to have something to talk to me about, because they lived as bad, some of them worse lives than I did. Walking around, see, they lived like hell. They lived by the flesh. They lived by the flesh just like I did. They walked in the flesh just like I did. They did what I did. There was no difference. There was no difference. There is a difference because the sons of God, there's these ones who can live like the sons of God, and these are the ones who live, who walk, and are led by the Spirit of God. There's a difference. We're all going to be led by something. Everybody will be led by something. Something is what you're going to use to lead you and to guide you. Something you're going to do. It's one, this area here, being led by the Spirit of God. He said, if you're led by the Spirit, listen to what he says. He said, for you did not, what? You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. The spirit that operates in you is not the spirit of bondage to fear. You know, the Lord spoke to me about this, and I just want to say this. You need to, here's an area it needs to be dealt with. Too many Christians operate in fear. They have fears of this, fears of that, fears of things. I want to tell you what, that is the nature of sin. What you not to stop yielding to. If you yield to this, to Spirit of God, you're not going to be afraid of heights. You're not going to be afraid to get in an airplane. If you have those problems, you got a fear problem. Now, not just them. There's all kind of people have phobias. People have afraid. They're not going to have enough money. They got all kind of phobias and fears of all kinds of things. I'll get sick if I do this. I get all these fears and phobias. They dominate you. They are demonic. And you're yielding to demonic spirits. I know. I was led by demonic spirits. I know what it's like. I know what it is to live in fear of things. I know what it is to deal with things. That's one of the things when I got born again, the greatest thing that I noticed, because see, fear drives you. Fear drives you. Fear never gives you rest. This you can know. You can never be driven by fear and have peace or rest. See, many people are driven by fear and they're asking for peace. You will never have peace till you deal with that fear. And see, this is why you need to be learned to be led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, when you come in contact with the Spirit of God, there is no fear. There is no fear with the Spirit of God. When you come in contact with the Spirit of God, why? Because that spirit of fear, he said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. In other words, fear is bondage. Fear is bondage. Fear of anything. Some people fear of death. That's what a lot of people fear sickness is, because they're afraid of dying. See, no Christian should be afraid to die. Every Christian thinks, my God, if a truck runs over me tomorrow, glory to God, it's me and Jesus. Hallelujah. See? You know, so many people, they get in their cars, they drive, and you know why they pray? They pray out of fear. They don't pray out of, oh God, give me a faith trap! Oh. That's the way they'd act it out if they were allowed to. But they don't act that way. They'll just act like they're being really spiritual in their prayers. There's nothing matter praying for protection. But, you know, as me, I speak protection. I'm going over there. God's taking care of me. Hallelujah. But you can't let fear, because why? Fear comes in, and fear's a driving force. Many times Christians pray. I watch this many times. Problems, Christians get into trouble. And when they pray out of fear. They're all worried about the problem that's going on, and they let fear drive them. That's why you gotta come to the inside. The Holy Ghost in you. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You had that. Don't let it come back. Don't let that come back to you. You know, there's things and stuff that happen in your life, and the devil tries to bring fear onto you and anxiety about it because, you know, well, you messed up over there. And he'll try to hold you in an area of fear where you made a mistake in your life. And take that mistake and make it a place of fear where you turn around and be afraid, or you're ashamed of that mistake. And it's a fear that holds on to you and keeps you in that place. So you didn't receive the spirit of bondage. This is why you got to learn to be led by the Spirit. You're a debtor to walk in this thing. It's about your freedom. It ain't about God's freedom. It's about your freedom. You will never find people who learn how to be led by the Spirit have phobias. When they learn, you learn how to hook up to an area. You might have an area of your life you don't know much about with God, but I'll tell you what, when you start to learn that area and learn how God functions in that area and get a hold of the Holy Ghost and He starts teaching you, that fear starts just... Why? Because you'll get a hold of the spirit of life instead of the spirit of death. Satan is the author of death. He's the spirit of death. And that death... You can't stay hooked to it. It always leads you over to it. You know, it always leads you to it. That's why we want to be hooked up. See, that's why if you're hooked up to your flesh, you're always going to tend to fear. Fears are going to come. See, it's one of the things, I can truthfully say this. I don't worry at all about what's going on in this nation stuff. I have no fear whatsoever. They carry on, do what they want, say what they're going to have, go ahead. I'll tell you what, I'm staying hooked up to the Holy Ghost. I have no fear. I have no fear. I ain't worried about it. It wouldn't do me any good to worry or fear about it. So, and I ain't going to go over there and, you know, do play their thing. I'm not going to let that spirit that is driving this nation get on me. Then what is going on in our nation right now is the greatest spirit of fear that has ever been upon this nation. And most of the Christians are hooked to it. That's why there's so much junk going on. That's why there's so many people under so much bondage, is because fear opens the door to that. Fear opens the door to your flesh to dominate. You'll start reacting out of your flesh. You'll start making decisions because of the fearfulness of what's going on around you. Your feelings will run you. And see, you can't do that. What we want to do is to be led by the Spirit of God, because He tells it. For He said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, really, it really the term would be used in our vernacular, would be Daddy, Daddy. In other words, that's calling God your dad. See, God wants you out from every area of things that fear, of anything that drives you, anything that's keeping you. He wants you to be out of that. That's not God. You know, when I talk about fear, I'm not talking about being afraid to put your hand in a fire. That'd be a smart thing to do. Don't go stick it unless God told you you could do it and it would work. You better have heard that one from heaven. You know, Daniel's buddies, his three buddies, you know, Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire. But they didn't just, you know, they didn't go out there and say, "Hey, let's go prove something here. Let's go light ourselves on fire to see what happens." And we're not talking about that, but I'm talking about fear. There's things you should be able to identify in yourself that about things of fear that come to you that are unnatural. That are unnatural. They're not natural. You know, we have this, you know, clean society today. It's sick and perverted. So afraid of everything. I was growing up as kids. We ate more dirt than they wash off of you today. My God. And we were much healthier. We were much healthier. We didn't have near the problems that they have today. You know, United States is the number one nation. The clean United States is the number one nation in the world for allergies in children. The number one. They didn't check the adults yet. I'm sure the adults in America are the number, allergic to everything. We need to understand we're living. A lot of it is because of fear. We're afraid. We don't clean up because we want to be clean. We clear up because we're afraid if we don't, we're going to die. That's what it's fear driven. It's fear driven. Afraid. You know, I learned this when God told me to start taking mission trips. I knew you have to get over this thing. You can't let fear dominate you because you can't go places and eat. I'm sorry. You don't have sanitary America every place you go. And folks, you just don't realize you don't have sanitary a lot of here in America you think you got. You better learn to live by faith because Christians are dying off as fast as the sinners do and as ugly deaths as the sinners do. See, we need to come in line with the Word of God. We're no matter, you know, what situation, what we're in, I can be led by the Spirit of God. I never have to fear. I never have to worry. I've learned this. Anytime fear tries to come on me, I know where it comes from. It ain't from Daddy. I got the spirit of my Daddy in me, and Daddy ain't afraid of nothing. And if I'm hooked up to that spirit, then I know anything that comes that tries to make me afraid of anything, it's the devil. Amen. Number one, you can't yield to the devil and have the not fear. You're gonna be driven. So we need to walk in the light of these things. So we have Daddy. Then he says, what the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Now understand, what the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. It says, does it say the Holy Spirit bears witness with your mind? No, it don't. Does it say the Holy Spirit bears witness with your body? No. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You're the children of God. The Holy Spirit. I know that I'm saved because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. This is why many Christians wonder whether they're saved or not. They are never in contact with their spirit. They're doing it from the outside. It's mental. I'm saved because I prayed a prayer. I'm not saved because I prayed a prayer. I'm saved because my spirit's been born again I did pray a prayer one day, but I know it today because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. It's not mental. Well, I prayed a prayer back in 19, you know, such and such, and I did this and I did. People do that stuff and they go along. You know what? They don't have more satisfaction about they're saved. They don't know they're saved because the Holy Ghost bore witness with their spirit. They don't even know what's going on in the inside. You know? Well, I'm saved by faith. I'm not saved by faith. I was saved by faith. Now I am a child of God. I once was saved by faith. You know, people get over, well, I'm saved because I was in faith 27 years ago. Well, you're in faith today. That's what I want to know. And how do you know that it worked? Well, I'll tell you what, I have a changed life. I go to church. My God, sinners and the devil go to church all the time. I know that I'm a child of God because the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I belong to God. I know that by my inner man. And see, there must be a consciousness. The Christian must have a spiritual consciousness. And that's been one of the great problems is today there's not any much preached about having any kind of spiritual consciousness. You know, you can become really learning the Word of God and knowing what the Bible says, I mean, an intellectual marvel, and still not know anything about the realm of the Spirit. Still not know much about it. People could quote every healing scripture there is in this Bible and can't get healed. Why? It's all intellectual. It's intellectual. It's not spiritual. Faith operates out of the Spirit. It don't operate out of your head. I don't care what you know in your head. You can know all kinds of things in your head. You can know them. But what produces is what's out of the Spirit of God, out of the inside of us. Your spirit, my spirit, hooked up with the Spirit of God. The Spirit is the one who teaches. He's the one who reveals. It isn't the knowledge that I gain in my mind. It's the revelation that's revealed to my inner man. Faith is of the heart. Divine healing is received in your spirit. It's not received in your body. I pray for people many times and the anointing of God will come on me and that flows into their body, but they never take it into their spirit and don't ever do nothing. They don't receive it with their spirit and it does nothing. It don't do a thing. Why? It's for your spirit. Your spirit then, if your spirit hooks up with it, your spirit causes it to produce. It's a spiritual force. Divine healing is a spiritual force. It's not a physical force. It has nothing to do with doctors. Don't have a thing to do with the doctor. Doctors deal with the physical body. They feel and work with how the physical body works. Divine healing don't work that way. This is why when these preachers see back, this is what happened when people got off the truth and they started this thing of, I remember back in the late 80s they started this, well, you need to know the doctor and find out what your disease is and get a name on it and all this kind of stuff, and then you believe God for that specific thing. I want you to understand this. Divine power of God will work in your body and it can knock out any disease that nobody has a name for. It isn't interested in human names and things we tag on stuff. You know, you can get delivered from fear and you don't even need to know what the phobia is. See, the carnal teaching gets in the church and these guys stand on TV and they tell it and tell it and tell it and tell it and everybody believes it because, hey, they're out there sprouting it off out there in front of millions and millions and millions at a time. And after a while, people can't get healed. They wonder, well, what's going on? I'm believing God. No, you're not. You're believing what the guy said, and he ain't talking God's talk. Faith in the Word of God will get you delivered, not faith in what somebody said. If they didn't say what God says. And that's why the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's inside of you. He will lead you in line with the Word of God. I really appreciated it when years ago when I was listening on how to be led by the Spirit. One of the stories that Kenneth Hagin told about was when he got filled with the Holy Ghost and he spoke in other tongues. And he said, you know, he had went for a few years before that happened. He got filled with the Holy Ghost and he didn't, you know that any of that was true or any of that stuff, you know, was supposed to have. And he found out about it and God, by the Holy Ghost, taught him and told him, you know, and he saw by Scripture he was supposed to be able to be, he was supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, I realized that I could have spoken tongues anytime I wanted to. I could have done that. He said, I realized, he said, the Spirit was trying to lead me into that all the time. See, this is why many people in the areas of whether it's finances, healing, sound mind, they never listen to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things I was so glad as I learned from Kenneth Hagin, you know, learned spiritual things, is how to be led by the Spirit because it leads you right into things. The Holy Ghost will lead you right into divine healing. He'll lead you right into it. If I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, I would get my Bible, I'd read these scriptures on healing and stuff, and I'd go to my bedroom and I'd say, Lord, you know, the scripture says such and such. And I would read over, and the Holy Ghost would start teaching me. He would start instructing me. I'd listen to tapes and things at that time, and I'd read books on healing. But I'll tell you what, I went and listened to the Holy Ghost, talked to me, spoke to me, because sometimes things that they said didn't cover exactly what I knew I needed to know. I remember, I always use the example of when Kenneth Hagin talked about acting on the Word. But I never had any instruction from him on exactly what to do. So the only other answer I had was go to God. I said, Lord, Kenneth E. Hagin keeps talking about acting on the Word of God. What am I supposed to be doing? Well, then the Holy Ghost taught me. He taught me what I was supposed to do. I turn around and sickness tried to get on my body, and he told me what I had to do. He told me how to act. He asked me about what I believe. He said, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, then why don't you act like it's true? See, I wanted to lay in the bed and call off work sick. It'd have been a lot easier and nicer to do that, you know? I felt it. He said, do you believe you received your healing? I said, yes, I believe I'm healed. Well, he said, well, then you've got to get up and act like it. He said, this is what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's teaching. He said, if you call off work sick, you're going to lay sick all day in bed. That's what he said to me. Well, he's just telling me the truth. God wasn't making me sick in bed. I was. I was going to because I wasn't going to act in faith. See, I was saying I believed. You know what I did? I believed. It was true. But my actions, as James said, faith without actions is dead. Faith without corresponding actions, it's dead. See, I can say all I want to believe. Now, you can say you believe Jesus is Lord. If you've never done what the Bible says to be saved, you'll end up in hell. You have to do the action part. You have to act on it. And so when he said that to me, you know, that there wasn't what exactly I wanted to hear at the time. But when I got that revelation, I'll never forget when I got out of bed feeling bad and getting dressed, it was terrible and that stuff. And in the bathroom, man, I tell you what, I just wanted to go crawl back in that bed. My body was talking to me other things. See, your body can be really loud, can't it? Can't your body be loud? Well, I'll tell you, my body was loud that day, saying to me, you're an idiot. Go out here, you. And since then, my body has told me I'm crazy so many times that it finally has come to the place to realize, don't talk to him, he's nuts. My body has many times told me I was insane and everything else. My body and the devil know how to, you know, get over on you about stuff, and they'll do it. And the devil, he don't quit. He does for a time. Your body does get tired after a while talking to you if you ignore it enough. It gets tired of talking to you. But when I finally went, I'll never forget, it's driving to work. And as I got to heading toward work, I just kept feeling better and feeling better. Till I got to work, every symptom was gone. Once I realized that thing worked, man, that changed my life. That changed my life concerning healing. Changed my life. Just absolutely changed my life. I just, wow. Now, there's things that I had to go through I don't think have ever been fun to do. Sometimes it would seem to me that it would almost have been easier to go lay down. But I've learned I had to act on those things. And I mean, I could sit here and I could tell you story after story of things that happened to me. And that stuff where I acted in faith. You folks know about the people I had a heart attack, you know, did different things like that. They're not easy. These things aren't easy to do. I'm going to tell you what. I was in pain. I was hurting, couldn't breathe right, and everything else, man. And you're going to go for a run? I just thought this dumbest thing in the world. Couldn't I say, let's go for a walk or something? No, I said, I'm going to go for a run. Oh, my God. And I'll tell you, for a mile, my body and the devil telling me that I was going to be dead along the road, I surely believed. I believed. I'll tell you, my flesh felt like if I died, it would have been a good thing. I was hurting. But I thought, you know, inside of me. See, you stay in contact. Inside of me, there was a knowing. Inside, there was life. On the outside, fear was trying to dominate and rule. But on the inside, there was no fear. I had no fear on the inside. I didn't have a bit of fear. When I would run along, my mind would get over on what was wrong with me on the outside, fear would start to come. Fear. But as soon as I would go back to the inside, there wasn't a bit of fear there. There was no fear there. There was no fear. I had no fear of dying whatsoever. There was no fear there at all. And so you got to learn to operate You know, if you keep listening to the outside, you keep listening to your body, because your body will keep telling you it ain't gonna get how. Your body will just keep telling you how bad it feels. Your body will keep telling you what's wrong. And if you just keep agreeing with it and telling everybody and treating your body in such a way, you know, if you keep pampering your body's going to dominate you and rule you. You pamper it and give it, says, well, no, I can't have this or I can't do that. You know, my body, well, tell your body to shut up sometime. You know, wise up. Use your head. Don't listen, because your body will work against you. It will work toward death. You know that you're a child of God by the Spirit of God who dwells with you. He bears witness. He doesn't only bear witness with you with that, with other things. He'll bear witness with you of things about the Word of God. He bears witness of what's true and what's right. Because understand this, you always have the war going on. On the outside, there'll be things telling you that things are different than what the Bible says. You need to be able to listen to the inside. The Holy Spirit in you will bear witness with your spirit what's true. What does He do? He takes what belongs to Jesus and show it to us. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be strong in your spirit. If you get the Word of God strong in your spirit, you won't have a problem renewing your mind. The unrenewed mind is because most people have trouble with their unrenewed mind is because they're trying to intellectually understand the Word of God. They're trying to intellectually grab a hold of things, and they're always having trouble renewing their mind. If you get the Word of God, I never spent much time even thinking about my mind. I spent the time getting things into my spirit, getting into learning to listen to my spirit, because when things got strong on my spirit, they started dawning on my mind, the truth. See, you can sit down and quote a scripture. That don't mean that you know what it means and how it works. That doesn't, you can quote something, but not really have any revelation on how to do it. If you know things that the Bible says, but you can't do them, I want to tell you this, you have no revelation on it. I don't care if you can quote the scripture. It's knowing how to apply it. See, when I listened to Kenneth Hagin, he told me the scriptures and about healing, and I knew that healing was in the Word, and I knew it was from God. But I had to learn how to apply it. The Holy Ghost showed me how to apply it. Boy, I'll tell you, 1 Peter 2:24 became a new thing to me. Once I knew how it applied, when I read by His stripes, I was healed. Dear Lord. After that, when I saw when He took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, I knew exactly what He was talking about. I knew exactly what to do. Why? That when that full revelation came by the Spirit, then I knew what to do with it. That changed it all. That changed it all. It's learning to take things, and the Holy Ghost gives you the ability through revelation then to apply it, is to do it. And that's where wisdom comes from. That's wisdom. See, many people have knowledge, but have no wisdom. Many people have, Christians have knowledge. Loads of knowledge. Man, they've been seminared and seminared and listened to 58 million, you know, a year, you know, teachings off of TV and everything, but have very little wisdom. They don't know how to apply it. See, I knew healing scriptures, but I didn't have the wisdom to use them. And man, when I got that wisdom of what to do, it's like, then healing became a totally different subject to me in the Bible. When I read it differently than I ever read it before. I saw what I never saw before. I started seeing things. And that's what we want. The revelation comes from God. He bears witness with your spirit. That's why you got to come contact on the inside. It's not a mental act. And because there, you need to understand this, there's so much going on out here that can influence your thoughts. See, if I can, what I want is I want my inner man, the inside man, to influence my thoughts. Other people can try to influence my thoughts by what they say or what they do. My physical flesh and my feelings can try to talk to my intellect, can it? Does it talk to yours? Try to get you to move in a direction. Those things are there. See, but looking on the inside, I've learned this. Troubles, problems, or something come, stop, look on the inside. What's going on in here? What's going on down here in the real Ed Gibson? What's happening down here? What's the Holy Ghost saying? What is my own spirit? Many times your own spirit will know exactly what to do. You don't need some. You know what to do. It's on the inside of you. It's there. But you have to learn to yield to that. And that's what he's talking about. The spirit is what bears witness with our spirit. He said that you are children of God. He said, and if children, then you're heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, then may we also be glorified together. You know, and I really, you know, most people think of that suffering thing, you know, that's we suffer with Him. You know, really? You know what the suffering he's talking about here? Being led by the Spirit. That's work. See, this is where you suffer, is because it takes something to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. You'll suffer learning because it runs contrary to the natural. It runs contrary to what everybody else is doing all the time. Does it make any sense? I'll tell you what, I could probably 99% of the church would have said Ed Gibson's crazy for running down the road, had a heart attack. See, this is one thing. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have most people against you when you start operating in things. This is why most people won't go over even to learn to be led by the Spirit, because their friends and family and everybody else, the people they work with, are more important to them to have them as friends and like them than follow the Spirit of God. It's more important to them to be, you know, everybody around them, you know, I don't want to be different. Well, I'm different. I'm an idiot. Let me alone. I'm crazy to the world standards. I'm crazy to people's standards that I would do such things as, or I would believe the things that I believe. I'm insane to the world standards, and thank God. Hallelujah. If they consider me crazy, I know I'm heading in the right direction. If most Christians think I'm a nut, thank God. Hallelujah. I know I'm going in the right direction. Amen. You know, as Randall Greer said, If you listen to what 80% of the church says to do, and he says you go the opposite direction, he said you're probably heading in the right direction to go. He said just because they tell you to do it this way, do the opposite. And he's right. He's right. See, people would say this. You know, I have been told, I don't know how many times, by ministers, you know, even some of them pretty large churches have told me, you know, you need to use wisdom. You know, like things of health and things, you need to use wisdom. And what they're telling you, you just need to have some more unbelief like I do. You need to listen to your flesh more. That's what you need to do. You need to listen to your flesh more and be more like me. That's called wisdom. You know, they think I was insane running down the road, you know. It's a sad thing about it. His people and his church can never go to divine healing because they ain't got nobody to teach them. Because the Holy Ghost can't use him. Because he's using wisdom. That's why I hear very little divine healing taught. In fact, almost don't hear it taught anymore. Most healing's all taught, you know, well, you go to the doctor and believe God and that stuff. But divine healing's not taught. People don't know how to walk it. You can't have it. It's like salvation. Somebody's got to preach it. I'm going to preach it. It can be had. See, that's what I wanted to learn. That's what I wanted to learn is how to walk in divine health. That's what my desire was, is to learn how to do that. Kenneth Hagin talked about it, and he talked about his life living in it. But I found out I had to do many of the same things that he had to do. He had to be taught by the Spirit, and you're going to have to learn to be taught by the Spirit. You're going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because these are the sons of God. These are the ones that enter in that place of heirs of God. See, everybody can be an heir, get born again and be an heir, but how many will live like an heir? How many will live? To be an heir of God sounds like a wonderful thing, and it is, but it's of no value if I can't take a hold of it. And I take a hold of it through the Spirit. It's not taking hold. It's not like going down here to a lawyer when, you know, and somebody dies and they turn around and give you an inheritance. You know, you don't have to have a lick of faith to get it, and they just give it to you because your name was on that paper. It ain't like that in the Bible. Your name, you may be named into the kingdom, but that don't mean you will enjoy any of it. It is all attained through faith. It is no different for anyone. It's all attained by faith. Faith is of the heart. It's of the Spirit. It's what the heart is, the Spirit. It's obtained through the Spirit. We are part of a spiritual kingdom, and that spiritual kingdom has tons of blessings, loads of blessings, no fear, no sickness, no nothing. It has all of that to give to us, but it can only be attained by faith. It can't be attained like we get things in the natural. In the natural, you know, you go down the store, you got money in your pocket, or you got a card, you can get things. It don't work like that. The only means or commodity that can buy anything in the realm of the Spirit from the kingdom of God is faith. That's the only thing that is acceptable. If your card is any other thing than faith, it will not work and you won't get it. There's only one way. So you must be learned to be led by the Spirit. See, we're spirit beings. And get your mind clear of the thoughts and things, you know, that are around us, of letting the things on the outside dominate what we hear. This is why, you know, and I've said this for years. You know, I've heard people tell me, well, so it's just easier to go to a doctor. I don't believe that. Because you've got to listen to what they say, and you're going to pay money. And you're paying money to a doctor shows that you're showing value to him, to what he says. And so when he says to you, you ain't going to get better, you'll have to take this medicine for the rest of your life. You just told God. Hold it. You're paying to have that. That's, so sometimes it's hard, you know. And so then you got to see him, you know, every few weeks or month. And you go back and you hear the same stuff said to you over and over. If you aren't spiritually strong, you ain't getting well. You better know how to. I can walk into a doctor's office and sit down. And he can say any old thing he wants. I'll shake his hand, kiss his cheek, and tell him thank you for doing your best. But we're getting better. Hallelujah. And you wouldn't have me run around telling people about, you know, well, when they come up and say, what did the doctor say? I don't know. Did he say anything? I said, if you want to, you pay him and go talk to him. But I ain't going to spread his rumors around. Because I know this, when you tell people what they say, they don't pray. They'll, we'll pray for you, yes. And the whole time now they got in their mind what you just told them, how you ain't getting well. Folks, good preaching anyhow, you know. Might as well dance a little bit. You've heard the song enough. See, this is why we need to learn, if we're going to do things, this is one thing. I haven't got anything against the doctor, not at all. But you better grow up spiritually if you're going to go to them. Because I see what happens and what goes on. And you need to be careful. You need to learn to be able to guard your mouth. Your mouth is either going to cooperate with your spirit or it's going to cooperate with your flesh. And most people, it cooperates with their flesh the most. And there's this crazy thing about the Bible that says you can have what you say. And people wonder why things don't change. And getting people around them. There's people I would never tell them if I had something wrong with me. There's Christians I would never even consider. I would know it'd be like talking to the devil. Because they would treat it in such a way and they would go and spread it and go and talk the bad stuff, and that's what they do. My God, you have enough trouble out here without getting yourself a team to work against you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to tell certain people things. You want to, with certain people you want to pray, you know, people that know how to believe God, get well. You don't look for the person that can't get well and then go ask them to pray for you. I mean, that's about the dumbest thing in the world, you know? You know, I would never go to the preacher and tell me that I need to use wisdom. I don't call him and ask for prayer if I need help, because I'd be afraid he'd use wisdom. He'd be telling the devil, get him some more, you know. Probably God trying to teach him something. But see, if we learn to yield to the inside, and that's why, is learning to be careful about yourself. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. You know, I'm not just going to say, if any of you here, you go to a doctor and keep going to a doctor that just keeps harping the bad news, you need to stop it. Go find a doctor that'll give you some hope. If you ain't got nothing but bad news and always, you know, have enough sense. Quit paying to be, you know, depressed. And then go complain and ask God to give you, God, I tell you, I need joy. No, you don't need joy. You need a new brain. What's wrong with you? I'm not going to pray to somebody to depress me. I would never spend money and go to a doctor and he says to me, well, there's no hope for you. I say, well, I know this. He don't even believe in God. I ain't giving the heathen no more money. See, anything that robs you of hope says you're in this situation and you can't get out. You don't want to keep listening to that. You don't want to keep listening to that. You know, that's one of the things I really did. I appreciated up at the, I was up at the Hershey there a couple times. I was in their, not an emergency, but up in their ICU. And in their ICU, I was just really amazed. I mean, the doctors that I worked with there a couple times, there's some different doctors, probably about four or five different times that doctors, people were in very serious condition. And the doctors, you know, they'd come and they didn't have the doctor say to them, look, we did all what we could do. We don't know any more to do. But hey, they say, there's always room for a miracle. There's always room for that. You do your part. What you do. You know, and I'm surprised. I mean, I'm going to tell you, good Sam, I'd never had him say anything good in there. You go in there, I see you. You're like, dear God, it's a mess. That's a good place to go croak. But I was just really impressed with the fact, because what you want a place of hope. You always want to find. That's why you go to some, you have a best friend. Don't always say something to your best friend, because your best friend, can turn around. What you want to find out, because you want to be, if you're going through troubles or you're going through problems, you don't want something talking negative back to you about it. I don't care if you blew it and made the mistake or did something that caused you a problem. The answer is to get out of the problem, not to stay in it and say, well, I'll tell you what, well, you got what you deserved. Well, I might have got what I deserved, but let's get out of what I deserved. Ain't that right? I don't need somebody speaking back to me talking down. And that's why it's so important, because the voices, where they said we're in a communication age. I want to put it clearly for you what this age is. It is a negative communication age. It is not a communication age. It is a negative communication age. It's nothing but bad talk. All this junk on just bad after bad after bad. And it's hammering people terribly. And we can't get out of things. And I didn't plan on teaching it on this way. But it's because if we lose contact with the inner man, we're not hooked up on the inside. We're not hooked up with God. We're not communing with God. Therefore, the Spirit can't do things to encourage us, to direct us. If we measure things by the voices we hear out of the outside, you will never obey what's on the inside of you. If I hadn't spent so much time over developing my spirit when I went through the thing of a heart attack, I would have ended up in the hospital probably the rest of my life taking medications if I wouldn't have died on, going in there or something. That's what I'd have done. But because of building up learning on the inner man, and that inner man, and times again, and I just want to say this, I had so many times though in situations when things were hard and things were, stuff happened, I have yet to have the Spirit of God where He didn't speak to me on the inside and tell me what to do. I've never had it happen one time that He didn't tell me. I'll tell you this though. Every time He's told me something, it has sounded a little contrary to what people call wisdom. But I want to tell you this, never one time did I ever do it that it did not work. It works. It works. It works. See, most people when problems, here's what happens with most people. Psychology, turns around, they study people and they say this, that people turn around when a problem happens, they go through this time of, going sort of nuts, and then they go through a time where, they have these different stages they go through. You don't have to go through any of them stages if you learn to develop yourself. You don't have to go through those times of going nuts and crazy. It's like a person gets injured and everybody panics. Oh my God, we got to get in the hospital. We got to get the doctor. I've been around Christians doing that. I just want to slap them on the head. Shut up. This is the time you listen to the inside. If there's something serious going on, I want God involved. If the first person you want's a doctor, you're messed up. You want to get God involved. So a lot of people never make it to the doctor. You want to get God involved. And what you need, it's just like, and I'll tell you this, a spirit of faith is an amazing thing because it changes things. When somebody will step out and walk into faith, it is amazing. I know with me, it's like the faith will come on you. So sometimes a gift of faith will go into operation. I've had that happen. But it doesn't happen until I start to look in my inner man and start to respond out of that. Gifts of the Spirit operate out of your spirit. They don't fall on you one day and then all of a sudden you just do things. I don't know why people think it does. They operate out of your spirit. If you're not in contact with your spirit, you ain't going to operate in them. Gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost are out of your spirit. They're spiritual gifts. Duh. Oh, I thought I'd just all of a sudden just know what to do. And I just, you know, I just it'll just happen. If God wants it to, it'll happen through me. Yep. If you believe that, I got some swamp land down in Florida you'll be interested in. It's 10 miles off the coast, but you'll buy it. One day it'll be dry. But you know, if we learn to listen and learn to do that, learn to turn to the inner man and on the inside of you, that's where God is. If you haven't noticed, God ain't in the outside. He don't live in Washington. Did you notice that? Thank God He lives in you. Why are we looking for help from here and help from there? Why are we doing it? Why are we expecting Congress to do something? I'm expecting them to do anything crazy and wild. I just, you know, but it's one thing. But if there's answers to our dilemma, God will give it. There must be wisdom from heaven. Somebody's got to hear from heaven. We can't, you know, just like from a national standpoint, we can't keep trying to do what we've been doing to try to change things in Washington. Haven't we, you know, beat the dead horse long enough? See, I believe God got wisdom for things that we can change our nation. But it's going to take a people that are going to be willing to hear something that is totally different than has ever been said nor done and do them. But first, Christians got to start walking like Christians. You're going to have to start walking like Christians. They're not going to look to us. They're not going to look to us for something, a change in our nation when they see we're like they are. They don't see any hope. We need to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. We're children of God. That's who we are. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what you are. And by the Spirit, you'll hook up with it. By the Spirit, you're going to hook up with the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God in you is your teacher. He's your guide. He will show you what to come. See, He'll prepare you for your future. If you want to know how to deal with your future, you got one. See, the Spirit of God ain't in you, so when you get sick today, you know, you can just go to the Spirit of God inside of you. If you know what, you can know this. You can know by the Spirit of God things that devil's going to try to put on you down the road. You can already be prepared beforehand. Isn't that a lot better than wait till the truck runs over you? You know, when you could have got out of the street? I've had the truck run over me already. I didn't listen. I didn't look right. But it's a whole lot better when you can get out of the way, ain't it? And that's what the Holy Ghost, and that's why we want to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. We're debtors to do it. This isn't something that God said, you have a choice whether or not you want to learn to be led by the Spirit. He said, you're a debtor. He told me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. That's what he told me back in 1980. He told me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you amount to nothing as a Christian. I'm going to tell you, people are going to be totally shocked when they get to heaven and find out about reward. People who they thought did wonderful, great things, they did none of it by the Spirit. They just did it the same way the world is. I mean, we got huge churches today built that's been built by men. On men's ideas and on men's plans, on following, yeah, well, we got to do it this way and we got to do this stuff. This is what the world wants. And, you know, I was reading an article about, you know, how to youth ministry and how to reach the youth out here. My God, when I was a sinner, we did the things that they're telling us we got to do. Is that, you know what? You just got to give them what they want to get them in, you know. If you give them what they want, they'll come to your church. Yeah, and then you'll have to keep giving them what they want. Maybe you won't keep them there. Well, if that's what you're going to have. Oh, well, it's so different. Kids are so different today. Kids are so different today. No, they sin just like they did when I was a kid. Ain't no different. They're just little hellions that want to disobey their parents just like I did. Come on, let's get real about this stuff. Ain't no difference. Sin, sin. Been there, lived it, folks. Can't pull this one on me. You just don't understand what it's like to be a kid today. I can tell most kids, I sin more in 10 years and you'll sin in a lifetime. Don't tell me I don't know about it. I know about sinning as a kid. I know about living like hell. I know about it. Don't tell me I don't understand. I understand it all. Your flesh is dominating you and you don't want to do nothing about it. I understand it. That's the way I live. My flesh dominated me and ruled me. Oh, but all the temptations that we have, all the temptations today. I know when you grow up to be an adult, there is none anymore. It all just disappears. It all just goes away. You just don't know what kids have to deal with. When those people say that, you know what they're doing? They're cheering the devil. Your kids are going to live like hell and you can't do nothing about it. The society is just so bad, it's so terrible. Was there a worse society than a Roman society? Go read history. God got in there, didn't he? Oh, but you just don't understand today. You just don't understand. I just ain't got no wisdom. Let me alone. I'm just dumb as a stick. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I want to do something here this morning. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about this before we have communion.